This is not your grandfather's Boomer Vision. This is a very special Kwanzaa Boomer Vision. Oh, yeah.
Hey, gang. Welcome to another exciting episode of National Bugle Radio. Very special Kwanzaa Boomer Vision edition. That's right. This is Kwanzaa. And, you know, the Slattery family has been celebrating Kwanzaa for generations. You know, we used to sit around the zebra skin carpet or whatever and talk stories about Africa. And then, you know, we'd go out and hunt wildebeest and cook it over a open fire in front of our mud shack. That's what we did every Kwanzaa. Plus Kwanzaa, you know what else Kwanzaa is good for? It's good for exchanging the Kosher-tified app, because nothing says Merry Kwanzaa, everyone, the way the Kosher-tified app does. Because I'm trying to think of a reason, but I'm sure there's a reason out there. Nothing says Merry Kwanzaa like the Kosher-tified app. Just fill in the blank. And you can download it for your Android phone. Not for the iPhone, because of aforementioned reasons regarding Tim Cook and his very perverse predilections. But you can download it for your Android, and it still works. There had been reports that the Android version was being sabotaged by the Chi-Coms or whoever. But it is working. You get it from nationalbugle.com. You click on that button and you download it. While you're at it, go to republicbroadcasting.org, because it's always Kwanzaa on RBN, and you can give a Kwanzaa gift, or as we call it in Swahili, Ubuntu. You can always give the gift of Ubuntu to RBN, and nothing says Merry Kwanzaa, everyone, the way a gift to RBN, except for perhaps downloading the Kosher-tified app. So that's what you can do. All right. This is a special edition of Boomer Vision, and it's one that I've been thinking about for a long time, because our republic is completely falling apart, and I don't know, if you're like me, you've probably been to a few of these rallies. And what you're seeing at these rallies is, and it's the boomers, I'm sorry, it is largely the boomers. Not exclusively, but the boomers are being hooked and reeled in by this whole Chi-Com business. So what you see when you go to these rallies, especially if it's in a state capital and these are not well attended, you'll see half the people there are Chinese. And who are these Chinese people? Are they Chi-Coms? No, they're not Chi-Coms. These are Falun Gong members. And they may be reporters for the Epoch Times or for NTD, which is a big YouTube video channel. They're all associated with the Falun Gong, which is a cult in China, or was a cult in China. I guess it's still a cult in China. The leadership, and it's a new cult. The Master Li of the Falun Gong was born in 1951. He's still alive. He lives in New York State in some compound, and he started a New Age religion in the early 1990s, and it took off, and originally the Chinese government was fine with it, but it really took off, and the Chinese government started to view it as a, you know, potential rival, and started to crack down on it. And of course, some of the practices seemed a bit bizarre. You know, I guess Master Li is said to be able to walk through walls and do a bunch of supernatural stuff. And all I know is that I saw some videos of men hanging cinder blocks from their testicles, which seemed kind of weird to me. It's not the type of thing I would advise doing at home. So there was a crackdown, and I'm not here to say it's like it's a new age version of Buddhism. And if you've ever seen the advertisements for Shenyun, the dance troupe, that's Falun Gong. And I'm not here to say it's good or bad. It is what it is. And even the business about hanging cinder blocks from your testicles, for all I know, that was propaganda. That could have been Chi-Com propaganda, for all I know. I don't know. Not particularly interested. And but the thing is, the Falun Gong is very, very anti-Chi-Com. They're anti-Chinese communists. So I think I threw it away, but I had some literature I brought home from one of these rallies. And is this it? Nope, this is not it. And it said, end the evil CCP tyranny in China. And, you know, honestly, we're going to these rallies supposedly to restore our republic, because our republic has been taken away from us, and we want it back. In fact, you could make the case it was taken away from us a long, long time ago, but we still want it back. And Donald Trump was reelected as president of the United States along the lines of the Constitution. And whether you like Donald Trump or not, he needs to be he needs to remain in office. Otherwise, you're just saying, well, the people who stole the republic, they get the right to choose who sits in the White House and not the American people. And nothing says end of the republic more than that. Now, the Falun Gong is very pro-Donald Trump because they view him as being anti-Chi-Com, and that's their whole thing. They want, the Falun Gong wants to use America to overthrow the Chinese Communist Party so that Master Li can establish a new Tang Dynasty. That's their agenda. And I'm glad they support Donald Trump, and I don't really have a problem with them attending these rallies. But what I do have a problem with is them or anyone else trying to hijack these rallies for their own purposes. And their purposes aren't our purposes. Their purpose is to establish a new Tang Dynasty, to overthrow the Chinese Communist Party and establish a new Tang Dynasty. Ours is to restore the Republic. And I want to tell you something. A war with China is not going to help us restore the Republic. It is going to be the nails in the coffin of not just the Republic, but very potentially civilization itself. China is today, are they as nuclearly armed as the Soviet Union was during the Cold War? I'm not sure. But the Soviet Union and the United States during the Cold War, what was our overkill? Do you remember that word, overkill? Our overkill potential was like by a factor of 100 or 1,000 or something. We had so many nuclear warheads, tens of thousands of nuclear warheads, that we could destroy all life on Earth many, many, many times over, or at least all human life. I don't know if the Chinese have that amount of overkill, but they do have kill. And a war with China would be a massive disaster. Now, I'm mentioning the Falun Gong, and I'll get back to them in a second, but it's not just the Falun Gong. Obviously, I've been talking about and complaining about Tucker Carlson for a few years now. He's had this person, Gordon Chang, on his news show repeatedly. And Tucker Carlson, one of the things I liked about him when he wasn't dead to me yet, was that he thought that the United States and Russia should have better friendship. They should have a friendship. There should be good relations between the two countries, which I thought, great. Now, unfortunately, the reason Tucker Carlson wants a friendship between United States and Russia is so that they can take on China. So I don't know why he has this bug up his rear end about China. I can kind of guess why Gordon Chang does. I think it's because Gordon Chang's, his mother is American, his father is Chinese. His father was born in China, raised in China, and then came to the United States in, I think, around 1950, plus or minus a year, would have been in the wake of the Nationalist Party, under Chiang Kai-shek, losing power in the mainland. And most of the leadership went to Taiwan and carried on the Republic of China. And by the way, the formal name for Taiwan today, their legal name, is the Republic of China. It's not the Republic of Taiwan. It's the Republic of China. And they were, that entity was founded in, was it 1911, I believe? And so if you look at the dates on their coins, they're dated back to the founding of the Republic of China by Dr. Sun Yat-sen in, I think it was 1911. So that's what Taiwan's all about. Gordon Chang's dad, like all of those who left China upon the victory of the Chinese Communist Party, Mao and the Communist Party, are very anti-Chinese Communist Party, and generally very anti-communist. And most fled to Taiwan with Chiang Kai-shek, but there were some who came to the United States. I'm assuming, I'm not 100% sure, but I am assuming that Gordon Chang's father was one of these. He was maybe he came over as a student or whatever, but he is very anti-Chinese communist. And certainly Gordon Chang, who is born about the same year as Master Lee, I think he was born in 1951 also, more or less that year, that Gordon Chang has made a career of predicting the imminent fall of the Chinese Communist Party. So he had his book in 2020 written and published in 2000, The Coming Fall of China, or something like that. And of course, it's been coming for a long time. And if you look at the history of the 20 years since Gordon Chang proclaimed the coming fall of China, China's risen. So he's been wrong. And sometimes when you're wrong, and I've been wrong in the past, sometimes when you're wrong, you have to say, oh, why was I wrong? And here's the thing about China, and this gets back to the Falun Gong as well. In China, they have this concept, the mandate of heaven. And for our Christian or otherwise religious listeners out there, don't get hung up on the concept of heaven. Just the idea of the mandate of heaven is that whoever is ruling China has the mandate of heaven as long as things are going well. You know they've lost the mandate of heaven because things don't go well. It could be a massive earthquake, and they've had those in Chinese history, massive earthquakes where millions of people die. That would be a sign that the ruler has lost the mandate of heaven. You know, floods, typhoons, but also civil unrest. And you could have made the case during the Great Leap Forward that Mao had lost the mandate of heaven. Now, this whole idea of the mandate of heaven is it's an old idea, and of course, Mao was trying to get rid of the old ideas, and especially the Cultural Revolution, another disaster, but where they were going around smashing temples. You could have made the argument that Mao had lost the mandate of heaven, and if the Chinese Communist Party was going to fall, it could have fallen then. And actually, I mean, you could look at after the Great Leap Forward of the late 1950s into the early 60s, but it was a disaster. And Mao, he lost he partially lost power. He had to go into a power-sharing agreement for a while, for a few years, where he really didn't have absolute power, but was able to snatch it back using the Cultural Revolution. And we don't need to go into too many details about Chinese history. Cultural Revolution launched around, 1966? And both of these were really disasters for China. And there was a saying that if Mao Zedong had died in 1956, he would have been known as the greatest man who had ever lived in China. If he had died in 1966, after the Great Leap Forward, he would have been known as a great man who had made some mistakes. But Mao Zedong died in 1976. And you can fill in the blank there. Now, it may well be, you could say, and I actually do say, that the Chinese Communist Party under Mao and the Chinese Communist Party post-Mao, even though there is a continuation in terms of personnel and whatnot, there was a rapid enough change or evolution that, from our perspective in 2020, we really should look at them as two different entities. I look at Maoist China and post-Mao China as being really different. And Deng Xiaoping, who never proclaimed himself to be the chairman or the leader, I think he was the chairman of the military committee of the Communist Party or something like that, and he was the vice premier for a while. But he was the power behind the throne after Mao's death. And he was a little old man who played bridge and chain-smoked cigarettes, tiny little guy, Deng Xiaoping. And he was, more than anything, a pragmatist. And his saying was, black cat, white cat. If it kills mice, it's a good cat. And he's the one who set China on this economic liberalization where you had... it started in specific regions around the coast, specific coastal cities, but where you had market reforms and you had private ownership. And could you call China a market economy today? Well, not really, maybe not, but it's got a great deal of market. It's not centrally planned the way it had been or the way the Soviet Union and Eastern European countries had been. And it's from the 1980s and increasingly in the 1990s, you had bigger and bigger regions that were allowing for more and more private ownership. There was less and less planning, more and more market relations. And today, of course, China's got this giant stock exchange, and it's got these massive corporations, and it has private property and very, very rich people. And, of course, it still has poor people. But the one point... And it was Deng Xiaoping who introduced the one-child policy, which is where they repressed their own fertility in order to raise the standard of living for a more limited population. It was still 1.3 billion. But the regime, if you want to call it that, that emerged with Deng Xiaoping, who wound up dying sometime, 1993 or so. The regime that he and his successors created lifted more people out of poverty than any other entity in human history. And that's a success. We'll be right back.
Mrs. Jones, we got a thing going on. both know that it's wrong, but it's much too strong to let it go now. We meet every day at the same cafe, 6:30. Yeah, no one knows you'll be there. Holding hands, making all kinds of plans, while the jukebox plays our favorite song. Me and Mrs. Jones. We got a thing going on. We both know that it's wrong, but it's much too strong to let it go now. We gotta be extra careful that we don't build our hopes up too high, 'cause she's got her own obligations, and so do I.
We are talking about China. We're going to be talking about communism. So the post-Mao, the Deng Xiaoping era of China, which I say it's still in the Deng Xiaoping era, even though he died 20-something years ago, it's pragmatism. And if you look at their economy, first of all, is it communist the way we thought of communism during the Cold War? And I would say no, it's not. The name of the ruling party is still the Chinese Communist Party. But you've got massive... well, hold on just one second. Let me read you a definition of communism from the Dictionary of Political Thought. Okay, communism: a social and economic arrangement defined by the fact that no participant owns significantly more than any other, either because all property is held in common, or because the institution of property does not exist, or, and this is Marx, because ownership is confined to the means of consumption and is excluded from the means of production and exchange. Okay, so the means of production, that the state owns the means of production. That was the 20th century version of communism, that the state held the means of production. Okay, so consumption, you could have consumer goods, you could own consumer goods, but the ability to make those consumer goods, the factories, those would be held by the state. That was communism in the 20th century, in the Cold War. And that's not China today. So China, you've got these massive companies, and even a foreigner can go and buy shares in them. You're not going to be able to buy it. They have restrictions, so foreigners aren't going to be able to own 50% of a company. They got all sorts of restrictions like that. But And you've got a lot of state-owned enterprises, for sure. And you've also got a lot of central government-owned enterprises. You've got a lot of municipally-owned enterprises. But you've got all of these private-owned enterprises, and you know, Alibaba and Huawei and all of these companies, private companies. So that doesn't really conform to communism. The stock market they have doesn't conform to communism. And I'll tell you what else doesn't conform to the experience of communism in the 20th century was under Deng Xiaoping, for decades, you have had, in most years, double-digit economic growth. The Chinese economy has taken off like crazy. And is that because of communism? Well, it's not because of the communism that was practiced in the 20th century, which was defined by state ownership of the means of production and central planning. And that is not; those are not characteristics of China today. Now, you could say, oh, well, but the, you know, they're repressive. Yeah, they're repressive. There is, there are significant restrictions on freedom, freedom of speech. Well, is that unique to communists? I mean, we lost our freedom of speech a while back. It's becoming evident to us now, but in lots of countries, you've got political repression. Lots of countries, you get political prisoners. It's not unique to communism. And so I want people to keep that in mind. So regarding whether China's communist, and also later in the show regarding whether we are becoming communist, or whether what's going on now is communism. Okay, so am I white knighting for China? Well, maybe, whatever. China, currently, the Communist Party has the mandate of heaven, as defined by, you know, traditional Chinese thought. Will they always have it? No, not necessarily. And maybe they were on the verge of losing it around Tiananmen Square. Maybe they're going to lose it. But right now they're doing well. Why are they doing well? Is it because of communism? Well, there are those who make the argument that the economic system of China is not really communism or socialism as it was known during the Cold War. That if anything, it's closer to national socialism. And the Chinese are certainly highly nationalist. They're not communist in the Trotskyite way. The Trotskyites felt that you couldn't have communism in one country. It had to be worldwide or nothing. It was all or nothing. That you couldn't have communism and capitalism existing on the same planet, basically. And although Stalin, he disagreed with that, and you could build socialism in one country because the Soviet Union was so big that you could do it. But even then, if you look at the history, Stalin, post-Stalin in particular, the second half of the 20th century, the Cold War, the communism that boomers, if they remember anything, should remember. You did not have exchange between the East Bloc and the West Bloc. You had two separate blocks, trading blocks. And we'll get into that on the other side and into some more fun stuff. We'll be right back.
You are tuned in to the Republic Broadcasting Network. Visit our website by going to republicbroadcasting.org.
Homeowners, are you in foreclosure, expecting to be served with a foreclosure lawsuit, or suspect your lender has coerced you into an illegal mortgage transaction? A huge number of mortgages made in the last 10 years have legal issues and are possibly defective. State laws and the U.S. Supreme Court have upheld that defective mortgage documents are grounds for foreclosure defense and for counterclaims in favor of the homeowner. If your mortgage has been sold or assigned since closing the loan, it may be defective and you may be paying the wrong party party, and the lender may not have standing or the right to foreclose or collect payments under the law. If you would like to know if your mortgage is legal or not, or know if you are paying the right party, we can help. Our initial consultations are free of charge. We are not attorneys. We are legal researchers and work closely with experienced lawyers who know how to help you find the evidence to help you keep your home. Call toll-free 1-855-2-KEEP-IT. That's 1-855-2-KEEP-IT today.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a 2-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendivite.
Is your property a financial burden and causing you grief? Have you tried to sell but can't find buyers? Or are you just too busy to sell your property? Don't worry. We have the right solution for you. We buy properties as is, with cash, close in 30 days, and pay all closing costs. Our service is ideal for property owners who are in pre-foreclosure, have high-end repair costs, experiencing financial hardship, going through costly divorces, are relocating, need cash for retirement, suffering family loss, or have tax liens. Whatever your situation may be, we can help you sell your property and get the money you need. If you own a single-family home or multiple family units, call us for a free consultation at 888-910-1037. That's 888-910-1037. Or visit our website at cashingproperty.com. That's cashingproperty.com. Sell your property fast and leave all your worries behind.
This is a man's world. This is a man's world, but it wouldn't be nothing, nothing without a woman or a girl.
Okay, we are back. So I'm going to finish up on the Chinese economic thing. You hear sometimes that from... Well, I don't know. I don't want to be putting words into people's mouths, but the likes of the anti-Chinese people out there, the I don't know, Sidney Powell or whatever, the Chinese are trying to spread their communism. They're trying to spread communism to other countries, and that's retarded. Now, here's the thing: the Soviet Union did try to spread their system. Why did they try to spread their system? Well, you see, they had the system of central planning and state ownership. And it certainly became obvious. I mean, let me just take a step back. In the immediate aftermath of the World War II, when Stalin was still in power, and he was trying to get countries into his orbit. He was trying to get the countries that bordered on the Soviet Union, especially in Eastern Europe, to be pro-Soviet, to be allied with him. And he did that by having, you know, pro-Soviet parties, communist parties, which at the time were largely run by Jews. But at any rate, and they had the same ideology, and they were promoting the same anti-market, pro-central planning stuff. But after that, even in the 50s, 60s, 70s, into the 80s, and of course these Stalinist wannabes, they created not just they didn't just mimic the economic system, but they also mimicked the political system with the cult of personality and whatnot. But even after de-Stalinization, the Soviet Union stuck with this model of trying to export their economic system to other countries. Even though it was pretty clear that their system wasn't working well. Their system might have been good for getting a country that was completely wiped out up and running again. But that's it. And they could do that through the coerced mobilization of labor. They could coerce people into working very, very hard and get things running again. But their only means of increasing economic productivity was through the investment of labor. And there's only 24 hours in the day. There's only so much investment of labor you can do. And they were incapable of efficiencies and innovations and things like that, and couldn't compete with the Western economies. And so they could not engage in trading relations with Western economies. And so to the extent they were going to have trading relations, it had to be with these captive countries. And so they couldn't have trading relations with non-captive countries, unless it was just very specific things. Wheat for oil. But they couldn't... Wheat for oil is what they did with Richard Nixon. Very specific things, but they couldn't have just broad, you know, trading relations. And so in order to get a country into their sphere of influence, they had to transform the economy away from market economy into their style of economy. The Chinese have no interest in doing that. First of all, the Chinese adopted so much of Western economics anyway. They don't do the planning, and they have gotten Western countries to invest heavily. Japanese, Korean, Taiwanese, Singapore, and European and American and Australian. They've all invested in China, transferred technology to China. And China has no interest in other countries adopting their system to the extent they adopt aspects of the Chinese system and become strong themselves, then they're stronger competitors. To the extent that they adopt aspects of the Chinese system that make them weak or unproductive, then they're not as good consumers. So China just wants to be China. They don't have any interest in exporting their system to other countries. Why would they? So there's that. Okay, let's move back to, well, what's going on in the United States? So I've mentioned Tucker Carlson, I've mentioned Gordon Chang, I've mentioned Falun Gong. You've got others, and this is something that's been happening in the past few weeks with the Republic falling apart. You've got Sidney Powell and Lynn Wood and John Ratcliffe, who's the DNA, the Director of National Intelligence. They're all pointing fingers at China. Now, why would they do this? And, of course, Tucker Carlson, too. Well, I mean, the number one reason for them, because these aren't Falun Gong people, the number one reason for them, I think, is that they're afraid to talk about Jewish power. I mean, it's clear that the things that Tucker Carlson's been complaining about over the past 4 years, just abandoning the middle class, and he says that really as a code word for, you know, white people, that this attack on normal people, whether it's Black Lives Matter, whether it's locking down the economy and this and that, these are policies, or immigration. Let's talk about immigration, because that's something that Tucker Carlson talks about, was talking about an awful lot, was immigration. And you can look at, is it Chapter 7 from Culture Critique, or Chapter 4, I can't remember what chapter it is, where Kevin McDonald just goes through the history of the pro-immigration lobby in the United States, and you just find it's thoroughly Jewish. Tucker Carlson can't talk about that. These people can't talk about... Everybody knows there's problems in the United States. They feel it. But very few people very few regular people know what it is. And then the dissident elite, like Tucker Carlson or Lynn Wood or Sidney Powell, they know what it is, but they can't talk about it because they'll get shut down. And so some people use code words. They'll talk about globalists, you know. And, of course, Alex Jones, he's certainly not innocent of scapegoating China for things. But he tends to talk about globalists and Satanists or whatever. He also talks about Nazis, which is kind of retarded, but whatever. But people know they can't talk about Jews. And so some people talk in code words that globalists, some people, some of their listeners might know what they're talking about when they say globalists, and a lot don't. But others, and this is what has really infuriated me with Tucker Carlson, they're scapegoating China. And, you know, okay, so with the coronavirus, you could say, oh, it's from Wuhan, whatever. Of course, the virus, it's not the virus that's the problem, obviously. It is the response to the virus. And the response to the virus is manufactured in the United States. And you look around, okay, Fauci, that's an Italian name. But you look around at these states, and you got that weird tranny Jewish dude in Pennsylvania, Rachel Levine, the father of three. And in, I think in the health directors in some of these other states, I think Illinois and New York, they're Jews. Massive Jewish role in the lockdowns and the horrible response that we've had. A massive Jewish role. And of course, the media, you wouldn't have any of this if you didn't have the media pushing corona fear, corona, you know, this corona panic. They're pushing it, and the media is run by Jews. It's not run by Chinese. And so wherever you look, you know, it's not the Chinese that are locking us down. And people, you know, they all stretch it out and say, well, the Chinese, they invented a virus. And okay, it's not strong because they released it to their own people. But it was like a fake. They locked down their own country because they knew everybody else would copy them. I mean, come on. Does everybody always copy the Chinese? Did everybody always copy the Soviets? Did we copy the Chinese when they did the Cultural Revolution? Well, we kind of are now, but that's 55 years later. You know, no, people aren't automatically going to copy the Chinese whatever they do. So that is just retarded. People clearly in the United States and in Europe had agendas. They had agendas, and they saw this coronavirus freak out that was manufactured by the media as a vehicle for their agendas, whether it's taking away free speech, whether it's crashing the economy, whether it is enforcing a vaccine on us, whatever. And it wasn't the Chinese. And of course, you look at the impeachment. I love using the impeachment as an example. The impeachment wasn't Chinese. You know, Hunter Biden, okay, so he had business in China. But you look at the impeachment. It wasn't Chinese people. It was Adam Schiff and Gerald Nadler and Chuck Schumer. It was Noah Feldman, you know, the law professors who testified. Noah Feldman and Kaplan, what was her name, or Carlin, and the guy from University of North Carolina. You can look it up. You had the press, the CNN. You had Lieutenant Colonel Vindman, Jews, all Jews. Marie Yovanovitch, the ambassador to Ukraine, all Jews. It was a Jewish thing. It wasn't a Chinese thing. And now you look at the election hoax, and you know. So you'll get Sidney Powell, who still hasn't been able to, and I don't necessarily blame her for it. Maybe she can't get a hold of the machines, but she still hasn't released source code or really very specific details. And she's saying, oh, well, Venezuela did it. And of course, Venezuela is communist and so is China, and therefore the Chinese did it. And like, come on, you had these black neighborhoods. We know about all the fraud that was going on in the black neighborhoods in Philadelphia and Detroit and Milwaukee and Atlanta, and they were emboldened and enabled by, you know, the Jewish media through Black Lives Matter, by Jewish secretaries of state, like what's that lady's name in Pennsylvania and other places, and even where they're not Jewish, kosher certified politicians in those states. There was no Chinese role in that. The Chinese didn't fake our election. They didn't steal our election. They didn't meddle in our election. The whole thing's retarded. But these people, like, you know, Sidney Powell or Lynn Wood or Tucker Carlson, John Radcliffe, the director of National Intelligence, saying that there was foreign interference. Maybe he thinks he's getting back at the liberals. He's owning the liberals because, you know, when the Jews hoaxed the whole Russia collusion business, they were using Russia. We're going to get back at those Jews by blaming everything on China. I mean, what? That is so stupid and retarded. So who is John Radcliffe? He's a politician. He's a politician from Texas. He was a congressman for, what, three terms. I think he was inaugurated in 2015. And if you look at his history, he's just somebody, Texas George W. Bush, you know, George W. Bush appointed him to stuff, and then he was involved with Mitt Romney. He was on Mitt Romney's transition team, which never got to transition. Maybe they were transitioning to, like, tranny or something. I guess he was on the tranny team. He was on the Mitt Romney's tranny team. And, other mainstream Republican establishment politicians. That's what he is. He's just mainstream Republican establishment. Granted, he might have done some good work while in Congress questioning the Mueller probe or other things. So I'm not saying he's all bad, but you know, if you're looking at John Ratcliffe thinking, okay, we've got one of our guys in there, and you know what, he's at the top of the intelligence chain and we're going to get the real story now, no, forget about it. It's not going to happen. So it's not the Chinese. And okay, last thing I want to get to, check my notes. Last thing I want to get to is this notion that you're hearing at these rallies, because what you're hearing at the rallies from the boomers, not from the young kids. I mean, Nick Fuentes and these other young kids are way more on target than the boomers. So the boomers are trying to blame everything on China, and then they're saying, this is communism. Well, this is not communism. Okay, communism was bad, and what we're heading into is bad, but that doesn't make it communism any more than it makes it a case of the clap, okay? The clap is bad, all right? I think we can all agree that gonorrhea is bad, all right? There's no such thing as a good case of the clap. But that doesn't make what we're going into the clap. We're not going into the clap, okay? This is not gonorrhea. It's something new. It's something different. All right. So, you know, just getting back to what is communism? Well, it was the state ownership of the means of production. Is that what we're going into? The state ownership of the means of production? No. I mean, we have the means of production, industrial production. It's in private hands. The stock market, maybe it's increasingly becoming concentrated in the hands of rich oligarchs, okay? But no, what did you have in, what were other features of communist country? Well, you had a state-run media. What do we have? We have a media-run state. It's kind of the opposite, right? I mean, you got the media. So Donald Trump was president. Did Donald Trump really want to do the lockdowns? No. Did the media want to do the lockdowns? Yeah. What happened? We got lockdowns. Okay. It's going the other way. How about censorship? Censorship. So in the old Soviet Union, you had censors. The state was telling, or state, or actually the Communist Party, which ran the state, was telling the Pravda what they could print. Okay, what are we getting here? We are getting the president being censored by the media, you know, by Google, by Facebook, everywhere he's being censored. Okay, the other thing, the one-party state. Well, we don't have a one-party state. We got two parties. They collaborate. They collaborate with each other. But the parties aren't really very important. In the Soviet Union, at every ministry, every important job, you had a political commissar from the Communist Party who was there telling the government what to do. That's not what we have. The Democratic Party, who's the leader of the Democratic Party? Some guy named Perez. I don't know. He's some, like, a Mexican guy. And does he have people from the DNC inside all the organs of government? No, that's not what we have. We're moving into something bad. It's not communism. It's something else. And calling it communism, I'm not trying to white knight for communism, but that's not what it is anymore, and this is a case of the class. I'll be right back.
Mother, mother, there's too many of you crying.
Homeowners, if your lender has gone out of business or sold your transaction to another lender or servicer, you may be the victim of a wrongful foreclosure resulting in the loss of your home. If you've already lost your home, are in foreclosure, or even in good standing, you can challenge the mortgage transaction's illegal issue and your property can be restored to you, and your foreclosure can be stopped or reversed and the mortgage transaction declared unenforceable. State laws, U.S. title codes, the Uniform Commercial Codes, and U.S. Supreme Court rulings have upheld that defective mortgage documentations can reverse or stop foreclosures and enforce property title claims in favor of the homeowner. We are having successes in stopping the process of foreclosure, the enforcement of the foreclosure judgments, the sale of property, and evictions after the sale. We are not attorneys, and we don't give legal advice. We are a professional team of legal researchers, providing forensic mortgage audits and expert witnesses. We have the knowledge to produce the evidence and enforce laws regarding your legal issues. We've been in business for 12 years without a complaint. Consultations are free, and we provide a free title search to confirm if your mortgage has legal defects. Please call 855-253-3748. 855, the number 2, keep it today.
Extendivite 7-herb formulation is approved to help maintain cardiovascular health and help lower blood lipid levels in adults. Extendivite is made from hawthorn, garlic, valerian, cayenne, bilberry, ginkgo biloba, and milk thistle. The herbs in Extendivite have been chosen for their ability to help with overall health. Many people have reported improved energy and stamina in just a few months. If you think you could feel just a little bit better, then Extendivite may just be for you. Extendivite is an all-natural supplement. Extendivite is only $69.95 for a two-month supply. To order, call 1-877-928-8822 or visit heartdrop.com. That's HEARTDROP.com.
Extend your life with Extendovite.
Hey gang, Patrick Slattery here with an important message that is pertinent to anyone who shops for groceries, eats food, or just has an inquisitive mind like myself. What I'm about to introduce you to is a segment of our food culture that has been kept so low profile to the American public that virtually no one is aware of how dominant it is on our refrigerator and cupboard shelves. What I'm talking about is the kosher certification industry and the new app, Kosher-tified, that delivers a comprehensive education on all aspects regarding this little-known practice. After reviewing this app, I found that it is useful for practically anyone who purchases food, regardless of their religious faith or identity. Its database of products not kosher certified is a win-win convenience for all food-conscious people. So why not check out thekosherquestion.com or click on the link at nationalbugle.com and see how modifying your grocery shopping with the Kosher-tified app can make a huge difference for your future. Welcome back. Okay, so why am I getting on boomers' cases? I'm a boomer, and I have been a staunch defender of boomers when you had, a couple of years ago, you had a lot of anti-boomerism going around, and I didn't like it because I thought it was off target. And I think it was off target. But here's the thing. Mark Twain, you've probably heard me say this before, he said it's easier to fool someone than to convince someone they've been fooled. And here's the other thing. It's easier to convince somebody they've been fooled if they haven't been fooled for very long than it is to convince somebody they've been fooled when they've made a career out of being fools. All right, and I'm talking to you, ex-military people. You were fooled. You were not risking your lives to the extent you were risking your lives, and some were, and other, officers typically weren't, not so much. Enlisted men may be more likely to. But to the extent you were risking your lives, it wasn't for American freedom. It wasn't for America. Okay? And you were indoctrinated. If you were in the 80s, maybe you did your basic training and you're going around chanting kill communist men, women, and children, and you were taught about the Russians and maybe later about the Iranians or the Arabs or now probably the Chinese. But no, the enemy to our Constitution, the enemy to our republic, foreign and domestic, it is mostly domestic, and it is mostly this hostile ruling elite, this hostile Jewish-dominated ruling elite. If you're looking at foreign problems, not so much the enemies, it is Israel, our greatest ally forever. And they're a problem because they get us dragged into wars that that are not in our interest. And so if you spent your career in the military, it's going to be really hard for me to convince you that if you thought you were protecting America, you wasted your career. I'm sorry. It's true. The one thing I will say about people who are in the military, though, is had you not joined the military, it's very possible that whatever job you did would have been filled by somebody who could have been doing active harm to us. And so to that extent, your time wasn't wasted. So it's going to be very hard to convince these people. And so you go to these rallies and you hear, you'll hear people like Dan Mastriano, the state senator from Pennsylvania, who heroically tried to get the Pennsylvania legislature to certify the Trump electors. And I would salute him for it, but I don't go into the whole saluting thing because of the military. But I praise him for that. But, you know, you look at the stuff he talks about and he writes, and he's still like, oh, it's the Chaikoms, the Ruskies, all these, the Iranians, they're our foreign enemies. No. You see, he spent his entire life in the military, and he's clinging to the idea that he was somehow serving his country, and he wasn't. Maybe he thought he was. I will grant that he probably thought he was. But he wasn't, okay? And even if you weren't in the military, if you spent your life being a Republican voter and Reagan and this and that, not that the Democrats are better, because they're not, but thinking, so especially these people in their 50s, 60s, 70s, they had these ideas, they had these attitudes, and convincing them that, no, that was all nonsense, it's tough. And so they are so easily reeled in by pointing to China right now. You know, before it was pointing to Russia and pointing at Iran. Now it's pointing at China. It's all deflection. And I think there still is a path forward for Donald Trump's second term. I don't know if he'll ever learn how to be an effective ruler. But if he does... Or if he doesn't, no matter who's in the White House on January 21st, we've got a big risk with war with China because of all of this saber-rattling that's going on. And we'll talk about that. I'm sure we'll be talking about that in the future. In the meantime, happy Kwanzaa, everyone, and I'll be back again tomorrow with another exciting episode of National People Radio.
Have you been looking for a trusted long-term storable food company? We have a solution for you. Simply Clean Foods is dedicated to providing the best quality food you can buy next to fresh from a farmer's market. Our line of resealable fruits, vegetables, and meats are suitable for everyday use, and you won't have to worry about throwing away valuable groceries ever again. Our food is completely GMO-free, and our stringent quality controls, plus testing for heavy metals, makes us unique in the storable foods market. Simply Clean Foods' primary focus is to bring clean food to people all around the world and change the way we look at freeze-dried food in our daily cooking. When you purchase from simplycleanfoods.net, not only will you be receiving high-quality food, but you will also be supporting veterans in need across the country and those who are affected by natural disasters. Right now, Amazon Prime members will receive fast 2-day shipping. Go to simplycleanfoods.net. That's simplycleanfoods.net. But do it today.
You're listening to Republic Broadcasting Network, because you can handle the truth.